You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, bringing you back here, bottom of the second hour of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to go to the hotline now from CBSSports.com, National Football League columnist, analyst extraordinaire, the one and only Pete Prisco joining us. Pete, what's going on, man?
What's up, Dane? How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us here on CBD, and let's just get right down into it. The Cleveland Browns 4-5 after nine games. Kind of give me your take on this first half, this tumultuous first half of the season for this Browns team.
Well, I think it gives them a lot of hope for the future, I'll tell you that. I, the one situation that obviously can't be settled right now is the quarterback situation, even though Campbell's played pretty good the last couple games, but I think for the long-term future of this franchise, I think I'd be excited about it. There's a lot of good young players on that team. And, you know, you start with the defensive line. I think those guys are playing very well. Mingo, he's not been the pass rusher, I don't think, that they expected, but he's done some really good things. I thought he was good in the run game last week. And you look in that secondary, in Ward and Hayden, they have two really good players. Gibson's had some moments where he's looked good. And, I think the other corners play better than expected, even if he's not the long-term answer over there. So add it all up, they got to be excited about it.
Pete, as long as we've watched this game, this National Football League version of football, if you and I are sitting there before season and talked about a team having three different starting quarterbacks in its first half of the season, we're talking about a team that probably doesn't win a game or maybe one or two stumbles into, but not what this team has done. Explain to me, as you saw the roster, and you knew, of course, that Jason Campbell, Brian Hoyer were backing up Brandon Whedon, did you sense that, hey, if things went really bad, say if Whedon was playing well and got hurt for the year, and it was going to be up to one of those two guys or both of those guys, that you felt that the depth of this quarterback position in Cleveland was as good as it's looked so far?
No, I'll be honest with you, I did not. And I don't think anybody who out there would say that they thought it was either. And the thing about it is that the bad games are the ones that the starting quarterbacks played.
Right.
Or the guy that was perceived to be the starting quarterback. You know, what would their record be if he didn't play? And so I think you got to give a lot of credit to the backup quarterback who stepped in and did a good job, but you also got to give a lot of credit to the roster. It takes a process to build a roster. And the right way to build a roster is with youth. And not get crazy and go spend big money in free agency. And I mean, look at they spent big money on Kruger, and last week he was better, but he hadn't played up to that money, I don't think. And that should be a little bit of a lesson to a lot of people out there. You draft and develop, and I think that this new regime will do that, and it's the right way to go. Look, the trade for Richardson, that was they stole. They should be arrested for stealing. that was a great trade. A running back in this league. Who, face it, he wasn't that good to begin with, and trade away and get a first-round pick for him, that's stealing. The Browns should be doing cartwheels over that deal.
Yeah, and certainly I think they are. And, you talk about this all the time, Pete, that it's a changing league and a changing game, and the role of the running back is taking a back seat more than it ever has before. So to be able to get a first-round pick for Trent Richardson was a big coup for this organization. But let me ask you, talked earlier about T.J. Ward playing so well. I know he's on your midseason all-pro team. You know, is this the kind of guy that the Browns, you think, obviously should invest in, keep around to become a centerpiece of this defense?
Yes. I do, and I'll say this: he probably plays better near the line of scrimmage, and does some things up there better than he does in coverage in the back. But I think he's improved in coverage. But I do think they should invest in him. In Hayden and Ward, you have two big pieces in the back end, and they drafted a corner in the third round last year. He hadn't worked out yet. I mean, still early. They hope he can. But I think there's some good things from Gibson at times too, even though he makes mistakes here and there. But I think you got to keep those guys, and those are the focal points of your back end of your defense. The two, Hayden and Warden. Hayden's really good, by the way. So I think you have to keep them around.
Pete Prisco joining us from CBSSports.com, covers the National Football League and has done it as well as anyone for a long, long time. Pete, we hear a lot from Browns fans calling this show, different outreaches in terms of social media, however they connect with us. General skepticism about how this team will handle what is clearly its most important draft probably ever coming up in May. And just not a lot of faith that Michael Lombardi as general manager is going to find the right guys, that Joe Banner as the CEO, the collective group, Ray Farmer's in this group. But a lot of the fingers pointed mostly at Lombardi and saying, you know, this he just won't do what this team needs him to do, and they're citing track record and so forth that in their mind doesn't encourage that. Nathan and I have gone over this chapter and verse, and I'm sure we're going to continue to, in terms of saying, no, you know, watch the guy. He's done it the right way. He's made some right moves. But where do you come down on Lombardi being an important guy? He's not the only guy in the decision process, but an important one in handling this huge draft coming up.
Has he made mistakes before in the past? Sure. Has Bill Belichick, who's, you know, people consider the end-all, be-all of building a team, made a lot of mistakes? Yeah, go back and look at all his draft busts. The great ones make mistakes. There's going to be mistakes made. But what you have to do is you have to trust the guy and let him have his draft and see where it plays out. And to me, you can't really evaluate what he does until he does it. And there's a lot of perception out there that Lombardi's going to blow this pick and that pick. Mike's a smart guy. He knows that he's got to get a quarterback. And, you know, that's the bottom line. He's going to probably spend the entire, you know, offseason and leading up to the draft evaluating the quarterbacks. You got to find one. You have to get one. And he knows that. He's not stupid. Mike knows that the quarterback is an important part of the game. It's 70% of the game. The quarterback position is 70% of the game now. And by that, I mean what he does in terms of the offense, what you know, how much he makes the receivers outside better. Can he move around in the pocket and make your offensive line better? Because the offensive line play in the National Football League is terrible this year. And then, you know, on the other side is the defense. You're drafting to stop that guy. You're drafting to stop Peyton Manning. You want to have pass rushers, corners, and all that. So I think Mike's a smart guy. Mike will figure out the right quarterback. Has he made mistakes in the past? Sure. But you go through anybody's draft history, you can find plenty of them.
And Pete, you know, fortunately for the Browns, we don't have to completely turn our attention to the draft just yet, which is an unusual thing at this point in November. The big game coming up week 11 with the Cincinnati Bengals. How do you see this AFC North shaking out? And are the Bengals now without Geno Atkins, without Leon Hall, still with questions around Andy Dalton, are they vulnerable to being caught this season?
Let me say this, too, about get back to the Browns and where they are right now. You know, I always point to the four-pronged approach to building a football team. You have to have the quarterback, the guy who protects the fourth quarterback, the elite guy who knocks the quarterback down, and the guy who knocks the quarterback's passes down. When you look at the Browns right now, Joe Thomas, having a good year again, by the way, playing in pass protection, it's been very good, left tackle. You have Joe Hayden, elite corner. They drafted Mingo with the idea that he could be their elite pass rusher. So then, you know, obviously the one thing that's missing is that quarterback. So if they can get the quarterback, the right quarterback, they have the four-pronged approach nailed. That's very important in today's NFL.
I'm with you. 100% on that.
It's so true.
It sums up exactly what this game is. Pete, the other thing is this AFC North, and what is ahead for the Browns, what is ahead for all these teams. So in Baltimore, key game, Bengals, Ravens. Obviously, Browns fans want that Ravens victory. And then, you know, you're looking at the Bengals in Week 11 with the Browns. John Clayton was with us the other day, and he said he thinks the Bengals are running away with this division. Do you see that happening, and how you overall assess what the AFC North picture looks like, including the Browns, through these remaining parts of the season?
Yeah, I think the Bengals are still the class of the division, even with Geno Atkins out. You know, they drafted Thompson and Still last year in the draft with the idea that they would be part of their rotation. Those guys will step in now. They have to play better. I thought Thompson did some good things last week. I think Still needs to step up and play better. They'll compensate. They still have the great outside pass rushers in Dunlop and Johnson. They still have a ton of talent on that side of the ball. But more so than anything with the Bengals, it's the offense. And, you know, Andy Dalton didn't have a great game at Miami, but still brought him back to where they were down 17-3, and they were ahead 20-17 late in a game they probably should have won if the defense steps up and does its job. So I think they're really good on offense. My concern with the Bengals is the coordinator. Sometimes Jake Gruden has these lapses where he forgets that he has all these weapons. He forgets that he has A.J. Green. He forgets that he has Eifert. He forgets that he has Bernard and Marvin Jones and Manette Sanu and Gresham. There's so many weapons. At times, I think he gets way too conservative, and maybe that goes back to Marvin being from the Baltimore school of thinking where he wants to run it and play good defense. So, to me, if they go out and play the way the Bengals should be playing, which is to attack and spread, get Bernard in air and all that, I think they're the class of the division. But the Browns, you know, whatever the Browns get this year, here's the thing, it's gravy, and I know some Browns fans very well, and a lot of them aren't, you know, they're sitting there thinking, yeah, this is all well and good. They might get to 7-9, 8-8, but if they don't make the playoffs, that's going to damage their draft pick. And so I think from that standpoint, there's a lot of people that are on both sides of that coin.
Do you feel, though, that it's maybe more important for an organization that hasn't had any taste of success or competency or relevance to kind of at least get over the hump and, hey, say, listen, no matter what happens at the end of the year, we've beaten Cincinnati, we've beaten Baltimore now, ending that 11-game streak, and I do feel confident they will at least beat Pittsburgh once. So to know that they've at least been able to beat everybody in this division and plus should get a massive influx of talent this offseason.
Yeah, but and I say, yeah, with a little asterisk there, because I'll give you an example. I live in Jacksonville, and I do radio in Jacksonville on a weekly basis. And when I talk about the Jaguars, it's like they played well better against Denver. And I said, well, that's a win-win for them. They won. They played better, which makes them look better. But they also lost the game, because if you don't have that quarterback position fixed, whatever you do in any one season, it's not going to be sustainable. And I'll go to the Chiefs, and Kansas City hates me right now because I said that they were the worst 9-0 team ever. But the Chiefs are having one of those, and I went back and I studied all the teams that were 9-0 since the last 30 years. And when I look back, you know who they were compared? They were the Titans from 2008. That's who they were. And that team fell apart because it wasn't sustainable, because Kerry Collins was the quarterback, and they ran the ball, played good defense. But for it to be sustainable, you have to be, you know, you have Brady, you have Rodgers, you have Breed. Those guys are always going to be in the mix. You don't know if Kansas City will be in the mix. So I think from Cleveland's standpoint, even if they got to 8-8, 9-7, it's not sustainable if they don't fix that quarterback position. So it's all about fixing the quarterback position.
So I see what you're saying, the fine line. But I think something tells me you can have the best of both worlds, that an 8-8, 7-9 season, as Nathan says, gives the organization a pretty good profile to take into the offseason. And this draft probably has more than two quarterbacks worth looking at. In fact, I think there'd still be some arguments over who the consensus number one is after watching Mark Mariota play last night. I mean, every week it seems like there's a different guy that you say that is the best of this so-called top crop of quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I think that's going to change throughout. I mean, I be honest with you, you know, talking to people in Jacksonville, I thought Mariota was going to be, would still be, and still will be. I think he's going to be the guy. You know, last night he was hurt, and he, you know, but there were throws when he made him. You looked at him, you go, woo, wow. And so I think that, I still think he's going to be the guy. I think Bridgewater's he's small. He's only 190 pounds. I mean, that's little. I think Hundley's going to emerge and go up the chain a little bit. Manziel is intriguing as heck. I mean, let's face it, he's an intriguing guy. I think when you look at, you know, Taj Boyd just kind of tailed off a little bit. McCarron, all he does is, you know, throw lasers all over the place and win. And so I think there's a lot of guys in this quarterback mix, and it's going to play out over the next couple of months. But if you're the Browns, you better get one of them.
Absolutely, it is important to get one. Pete Prisco from CBS, thanks for stopping by. And, folks, you can check out his great stuff at cbssports.com. And I got to tell you, Pete, I said it to you in the text earlier today, but the article you wrote about the struggles in the Ravens' run game and breaking down the film and the slides you use, if you're a football fan, there's a lot to be learned from Mr. Prisco's columns. I thought that was a particularly good one this year.
And it was great because I got to spend a lot of time watching the Browns, and I really came away impressed with a lot of those players. They're building the thing the right way.
Good stuff, Pete. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. That was Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com on Twitter at PriscoCBS. We'll be back with the third member of our team, Gerard Cherry, to help wrap things up here on a Friday bye-week edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.